adult audience. Love Line may contain sexually oriented content. Listener discretion is advised.
Love Line with Adam Carolla and Dr. Drew.
Hey, everybody, it's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Dr. Drew, board certified physician, addiction management specialist. Andy Dick, our guest tonight.
Good evening.
Good old Andy Dick, back on the show. Says here Andy hasn't been on the show since April 2001.
Is it possible
that it's been more than 2 years since he's been here?
Good evening.
Has it been? Andy Dick in the hizzy.
Who's that?
Sounded like me. I find that very hard to believe.
Good evening.
Really, he's not been on since April 01?
It's a long time. I've been busy making television.
Wow. All right. I can't get past that, but you know what?
Yeah, it does seem
I'm
like
past
a long
it
time.
Now. It shouldn't be this long, Andy. Not for a dear friend like Andy Dick.
No. A couple more.
Dear friend. Dear.
Dearest.
Less than perfect. On its second big season, going to premiere.
Good show. People love it.
September 23rd. That's this Tuesday.
Tuesday,
9:30. ABC. ABC has to be happy. Wayne Brady won
an Emmy.
Should have won a Tony, actually. But he won it in the weirdest category. I was just watching it tonight. Was like, he's up against Martin Short and Jon Stewart. And Dennis Miller, and who the hell else? And Jon Stewart does the Daily Show.
Jon Stewart won for best nighttime show, comedy variety show. He did.
Oh, he won it.
He won a different category. He was up for
Jon Stewart won against like Saturday Night Live
and against like
and Letterman.
Letterman and Leno.
Oh my goodness, he won that one.
Yeah. Oh, well,
that was nice.
So that's what I read on the internet. Yeah.
Jeez.
Oh, wait a minute.
Yeah, I did.
But you're saying that Wayne Brady won for best daytime comedy show?
Best performance on a comedy show.
Oh. No, best performance on a variety show.
Right, I saw that.
Oh, that's not... Yeah.
But so he won for Whose Line Is It Anyway?
Oh, he did.
Right.
I have no... You sound like Floyd the Barber, by the
way. Oh. No, so he didn't win for his talk show? He won last year for his talk show.
I don't know. I don't know how it works.
Yeah, well, he won last year, but that was... they do those daytime Emmy parts like another day.
Shouldn't you just pretty much just cram all the late-night talk shows together, and see who wins with that? And then as far as specials and variety shows, that's another thing.
Yeah.
All right. Well, anyway. Andy Dick, how many Emmys have you collected over your illustrious career?
I have, zero.
Zero.
But I've been on shows that have won Emmys. The Ben Stiller Show won an Emmy for writing, which I did write for, but I wasn't credited.
But just, Andy, consider yourself lucky. What would have happened to the statue if it entered your house?
Right up the ass.
Absolutely. Son of a bitch.
I'm just saying it would have gotten lost.
Up your butt.
How dare
and,
you.
And then, of course, News Radio won an Emmy.
Oh, it did.
For Wardrobe. It really did.
Really?
It did.
It's a contemporary show.
It's like a little nod. That's the Emmy people.
Right. They want to give an Emmy to
We want so badly because we love your show so much, but really we can't give it to you because
we kept giving it to Seinfeld.
You haven't been in the top 20 ever, but we do like it. You have nice clothes.
And what about the Andy Dick Show? Is that gone? Is that going to come back?
What's up with that? For 2 years. 20 episodes
altogether.
Excellent
program.
Dead in the water.
I can't believe it.
I know.
It was a great show.
It's not coming back. You were both on it. No, you weren't, Adam.
No, I was not asked to come on the show, but Drew was.
I tried to find you a couple times. You were busy doing the man show or something.
All right. Well, it was an excellent show, and we're going to miss it.
Thank you.
But we will see Andy along with Sarah Rue coming up on Less Than Perfect this Tuesday.
Yes.
That's how you get your dicks fixed. That's how they should promote.
Speaking
stuff.
Of that, Andy's
Get
looking at
dicks
the
fixed.
General Reconstruction textbook over there.
I can't stomach that.
Yeah.
That is nice.
You have a book here for your guests, Reconstructive and Plastic Surgery of the External Genitalia.
Andy, after looking at that book, you're either not going to beat off for a month or begin beating off. In the next 30 seconds.
Excessively.
What do you think,
Drew? To celebrate his...
this is just horrible.
And
in four easy steps, how to turn a vagina into a penis.
Andy, ever any? You do dress in drag on occasion, and
yeah, I do.
If you ever,
I don't get off on it.
No, I know.
It's not a sexual thing. I know it is for a lot of people, but for me,
no.
I don't get off on it.
It never thought about becoming a woman.
No, never. I'm not like that. That's not me sexually.
Okay.
No.
Mm-hmm.
Never considered it.
How dare you, Adam. Sorry.
I love my penis.
All right, me too.
I wouldn't do anything to change it.
And I just want to say one more
Except
thing.
Except maybe get a reduction or something.
Sure.
Yeah, what?
One more thing before we hop on the phones.
What's
I'm thinking of promoting Andy's show and promos. And then they keep doing these Eight Simple Rules promos on ABC where, you know, the nice music comes in and it swells. And it's like, you know, new episodes of Eight Simple Rules, John Ritter's last episodes. But the promos are done as if he's alive,
yeah.
And they do this thing where at the end he's like doing this like a David Lee Roth at the end of Just a Gigolo kind of bad dance move, and then like, ha! And it's like,
distracting.
Really?
Yeah.
You got a 50-year-old guy like throwing socks into the air and karate chops and a crazy kick move and like, yow! And it's like, the guy's barely in the ground, everybody. I know normally when you do promotions, you do that sort of crazy, even though a guy's in his 50s, he still does that crazy turnaround, hey, thing. But when the guy's dead, don't you just get away from the thing where he whips his head around and goes, ha-ha!
Says everything about television, doesn't it?
It's really... I've seen the promo, and if someone called, they've watched ABC and I've seen it five or six times now. It's like, John Ritter... beloved TV star, Eight Simple Rules. Hey, ha ha! Whoa! I mean, his hair's flying around. It's like he's flying toward the. Drew, remember all the goofy stuff we used to do for like that. Do with a little more energy. It's the last thing you see in the John Ritter Eight Simple Rules promo.
Oh my god!
Hair flying around, arms flailing. How about something just, you don't have any shots of him just sitting looking a little pensive or reflective or anything? He's got to be doing a karate chop. It's the same promo if he's alive or if he's dead. And yeah. what about the narration part where you're going like, a very special, you know the guy throwing karate kicks?
I have five words for you that our listeners may not appreciate. You may have to tell them the story if you think it's worth it, but you need a brain vacation.
All right, I'm not going to get into it. Oh, wait a minute.
That's a lot like...
What? Please somebody call and tell me they've seen the Eight Simple Rules promo with
that's a
John
lot like,
Ritter throwing karate chops.
I remember we talked about that. That's like, remember when, who's the, Margot Kidder? Remember
mm-hmm.
when she like had, I guess she might have had a drug problem. I don't remember.
Nervous breakdown,
wandering the streets,
yeah.
Showed up in somebody's backyard.
Right.
And then for the news, you know, during the real news, they would show a picture of her or a little clip. And it was always like a clip from Superman where she was like going, yeah, you know, to show how crazy she is.
Well, you have to have it.
Yeah.
Yeah. John Ritter throwing karate chops.
But John Ritter, that's sad.
Very sad.
Robert.
Really
sad.
Robert?
Yeah.
Robert?
Yes.
You're 16.
Right.
What's up?
I have a girlfriend right now. I'm an Orthodox Jew.
You are?
I'm a Jew.
All right.
Orthodox. Yeah.
Orthodox.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And she wants to have sex.
Mm-hmm.
How dare she?
But it's kind of like against the religion.
Sure.
Is she Orthodox also?
No.
What is she?
She's... I don't think she's anything.
She's nothing.
I mean, no.
Don't your parents have a little problem with that?
Mine? They don't know.
Yeah.
All right.
Be committing Harry Carey.
Right? How old is she?
She's also 16.
Did you meet her in school?
No, I met her, you know, I have a bunch of friends. We hang out, so...
Yeah, how dare you, Adam?
No,
did you meet her in school?
It's ludicrous for me to think a 16-year-old may have met someone in school.
I don't think you should do it. I mean, he's an Orthodox Jew. I didn't even... I mean, this is me, Andy Dick, talking. I didn't even have sex till I was like...
11.
Yeah.
No, honestly, till I was older.
How old?
We mic'd him up.
How did you get that tape?
Hey, Robert.
How old were you, Andy?
Yeah.
I think I was 18 or 19. Or 17 or 18, I think.
Let's quiz.
I held out.
Let's quiz
Robert. You got to hold out, Robert.
Okay.
Plus, you know, the whole Orthodox Jew thing.
But yeah, maybe he needs to evaluate.
Let's give him a little Jew quiz.
Well, first of all,
I'm not sure if I believe it.
By the way, I wanted to tell you, you always call it, you know, a Hamantashen.
Yeah.
I do.
Hamantashen is a plural form.
Oh, so what's the
Humintosh is one.
A Humintosh?
Right.
That's pretty good.
What does that mean?
It's a cookie.
It's the type of cookie.
It's a triangle-shaped.
Oh, that one. Okay. Looks like a vagina. It's the closest they get to eating one.
Humintosh.
Right.
Okay. All right, Robert, you passed the test with your Humintosh.
Yeah.
Okay, so what do you do when you're 16? You start to grow a beard? Do you have the payoffs? What do you do?
Well, not really. I mean, I'm not that. That's like Hasidic almost.
Uh-huh.
You know what I'm saying? I'm not like that.
How attached are you to your religion? Maybe you need to sort of evaluate that before you sort of...
Well, you know, I'm in school right now. That is true. And I'm calling from my room. I'm not even allowed to have a cell phone.
According to your religion?
No. That's just my school rule.
Oh, okay. Can you use a cell phone on a Saturday if you're Orthodox?
No, you can't use a phone.
Are you in some sort of...
You can't use electricity.
Are you in college or are you in a boarding school?
What?
Are you in college or are you in a boarding school?
I'm in a boarding school. High school. 11th grade.
Okay. Hey, let me ask you this.
Yeah.
Can you put things on a timer if you want to use them on a Saturday?
Yes.
Okay. Shrewd.
Nice technicality.
You choose. You beat Abraham on a technicality.
Yep.
Yeah. Okay. All right. That's all you need to know about religion, everybody. You put stuff on a timer, but you can't turn the switch on a Saturday.
That's right.
Yeah. No one ever starts laughing halfway into this?
No. Some people
really?
set the TV on even, you know.
How old is your girlfriend?
16.
Well, look.
Go ahead and do whatever you want.
You need to give some real thought to what it's going to mean to your religion,
yeah.
Your values,
what
it's going to mean to her, whether you're not going to adhere to this. Just go ahead and bang her.
Everyone drop your crazy ritual nonsense with your TVs on timers because you can't turn things on a Saturday. Holy Christ, who are you retards kidding? Please, all of you. I don't know if you're a Shiite Muslim or Orthodox Jew or a born again Christian. It's to any right thinking person, it's all just insanity. Way too much reverence given to people who have mental disabilities, namely the people I just mentioned. All right, Andy Dick, what do you want? What's going on here?
I just need to get Tim Walsh in here, the guitar player.
He's probably standing
out
on the street.
But Andy...
No, he doesn't know that where the new place is.
Oh. Andy, go talk to producer Ann.
Yeah,
just have Ann come in here. No, just go walk out and talk to her.
I'll be right back.
Okay. It's always something with Andy. Andy was going to do a song for us tonight. And if anyone hasn't heard Andy
and
the Bitches of the Century sing, it's worth it. It's worth it just to watch him punch his guitar player in the thigh as hard as he can when he screws up on a note. But in typical Andy Dick form, Andy figured out that about 25 seconds before we're going on the air, he forgot to tell his guitar player, who came out from like the Inland Empire, to come to the studio. So he wanted to like make a call, but he couldn't. But the show was starting. Now he's distracted. He doesn't know what to do. Drew, what do they call that? Where it's always something.
Well, a lot of different things.
Okay.
It could be OCD. It could be ADD.
Okay.
All right.
So here's my plan. I just kick him out, let him straighten it out, because he's a mess in here. He's trying to signal.
Well, that's your ADD. You can't tolerate anybody doing anything other than focusing on your every word.
No, I don't want them focusing on what I'm saying. I just don't want them flapping their arms and trying to get other people's attention while we're trying to do the show.
Right.
Everyone
that's
listen to me.
For me.
That's right. How dare you, Drew? Sophia?
Yeah?
You're 17?
Yes, I am.
What's up, baby?
Okay, I've been with my boyfriend for about 9 months now, and we finally, he wanted to do me anally, I guess, and this was about 2 nights ago, and I've always had a big problem with doing it, because, I don't know, it just seems gross and unhealthy and not the right way, you know?
Right.
So I told him, okay, we could do it, and ever since then, I've been really constipated, and I can't go to my doctor because... my doctor's really close to my mom, and I don't want my mom knowing that I do those.
Wait, hold on a second. Drew, can you really... You can't get constipated from this.
Yeah.
If anything, loosen things up a little.
You can get hemorrhoids, and that sort of holds things back a little bit.
Yeah, but does it feel... Is it painful, or does it feel like you can't do it?
Both. Like, when I walk, it burns, and when I try to go to the bathroom, it's, like, stuck up there. It won't come out.
Why don't you use a laxative?
I tried that.
hold on a second. It's not bogus. No guy putting her up to it.
Probably.
It just sounds like such a bogus premise. You know, if I got my coolie packed with Duke, and it got packed in there, and now it won't come out.
Right.
It doesn't work that way, does it?
I mean, you never know what could do with these things. People's
opinions. All right, Sophia.
Yeah.
Sorry. Go ahead.
I've been with him for a long time. And
here we go. Here comes the bogus part.
Yeah, this is just, bogus. It's bogus. Where is he? Put him on.
He's
go get
not
him.
Here.
Get him.
He's at home. How do I get him? I can't call him this late.
No, he's in the room.
She's complaining of constipation.
She's constipated,
since
Andy.
Since anal sex.
Anal sex.
Ouch. I mean, I don't ever do anal sex.
If you were to, of course.
I don't do it. So you know. Oh, I hate you guys. No. I would tell you if I did. But just take,
I try
eat a lot of fruit.
Magnesia stuff or whatever it's called.
Milk of magnesia?
Yeah, does that work?
They tell you just to take it once, like a week, right? And I already did that and nothing happened and I'm afraid to take it again.
No.
When's the last time you dropped a Duke?
Before 2 days ago.
Was it milk of magnesia or was it magnesium citrate?
Milk of magnesium.
All right, try magnesium citrate and try an oil retention enema. And if that doesn't work...
Oil retention enema?
Yeah.
How's that work?
It softens things up. It's oil.
They put oil in
you? It's oil-based, and you hold it in. You retain it, retention.
How do you do that?
You bear down. You
really?
Clamp up.
How do you get it in there?
It's got a long spigot on it.
Really?
Yeah. You've never seen an enema?
You've never been basted?
I've never had an enema.
Happy Thanksgiving.
I put my ass against a jacuzzi jet once.
It's the
when
same
I was in
thing.
High school.
I'll baste you.
Yeah, but you
for Thanksgiving.
Basted somebody else. With
well,
the
they had it coming. Yeah. But no, here's what I'm saying. Shouldn't she try to take the laxative, see if it works, and then do the enema?
Yes, I said magnesium citrate.
Yeah, and then
if that doesn't work.
But you forgot that doesn't work.
I apologize.
Part.
The oil retention enema, and or she could do both simultaneously. Frankly, but and
what
then,
kind of oil is it? Like mineral oil?
1068.
Seriously, I haven't heard of oil enemas.
That's mineral oil.
Yeah. That's gross. Right.
Come in its own packet, or you got to mix it up?
No, it's all these little, you know, you've seen the enemas, they come these little, have you ever squeezed an enema?
No.
Oh, Adam. You've never lived.
Things give me gas, though. A little fart go. My ass
farting.
Is objecting. Engineer Chris, first time he's laughed in the month we've been here.
I didn't know the big humor of Adam's gas humor. Wow.
All right. Andrea?
Yeah?
You're 17. Is it hot in here now?
Of course.
Thank you.
The mics have been on for 10 minutes.
Okay. Andrea, you're 17. What's up?
Well, I'm addicted to sex.
Mm-hmm.
Welcome to it.
What do you mean by that?
Well, I've only been single for a month, but the last time I had sex was... Mm-hmm. A week ago, and then 3 days before that, and then about 5 days before that.
With the same partner?
No, two different.
Two different partners.
Mm-hmm. There's nothing wrong with that.
And I have a nine-month-old daughter.
You what?
I have a nine-month-old daughter.
Yeah. Fantastic.
How old were you when you lost your virginity?
12.
Was it with like a 19-year-old?
No, 15, but I was drunk off of 151 rum.
Yeah, were you sexually abused growing up also?
I don't know.
Physically abused?
Yes, I'm attracted to abusive assholes.
All right, so are you addicted? You must be addicted to other things too besides sex, like substances.
Like I smoke bud.
Every day?
Smoke cigarettes and I drink.
All right, sounds like you're going to be a fine mom.
And you have a family history of alcoholism?
I don't know. I've been in foster care my whole life.
Okay, we got the picture. Okay.
Hey, Andrea, let me ask you this. Are you on any kind of birth control?
No.
How come?
Condoms.
Right, but...
Your foster parents knowing...
Don't people speak to you about this? Not so much your foster parents, but let's say... You're going to the hospital to have your kid delivered and all that kind of stuff. Aren't doctors talking to you about Norplant and
shots,
getting shots and things?
Yes, they did. I had an IUD, but the doctor misplaced it, so they had to take it out.
And why did they put another one back in?
Because of my age.
But
I was too young.
They put the first one in, right?
Yeah.
Why wouldn't they replace it?
Why wouldn't they give you something else?
No, I don't know.
All right, you need to get some.
All right, you got
to
get some birth control. Because, look, here's what I'm worried about. I'm worried about, and in no particular order, you, your kid, and me. Me. And when I say me, I mean society, who pays for all you a-holes out there cranking out the kids and doing the drugs. You got one kid.
I only have one kid.
Okay,
you
only got one kid.
You're sex addicted.
And you're 17, and you're not on any birth control. Here's what you need to do. You need to not have any more kids for your sake and for the one kid that you have's sake, okay?
Okay.
And then again, for my sake, and in no particular
and
order.
And IUD is reasonable in your situation. Yes. I understand why they'd be concerned that there are issues of fertility and women that have never had a baby, but you've already had one. Fertility, contraception is a very, very important issue for you. And if not IUD, at least the contraceptive shot.
All right. And you can go to AA and CA and SA. If anything ends with an A, you go there, all right?
Okay.
All right. So we start with SA. What about 12-step program?
No, you had to go to just Alcoholics
Anonymous. All right. On your kid's behalf, please, Andrea.
Okay.
But don't create the horrible life for your kid that you had created for you.
Okay.
That's your plan, right?
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Maybe not.
Maybe not. Andy Dick.
I went to SA.
What'd you do? Drop a Quaalude before you came in here?
He was thinking about SA.
I got up early and did the less than perfect softball game.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, I'm on the league. I'm in the league.
Mm-hmm.
Then I went to Pam Anderson's house.
Oh, you did?
We had a barbecue.
Oh, you did?
With our kids, and Tommy Lee was there. And we went boogie boarding, and
I
almost touched a dolphin.
Really?
They live by the beach?
Hold on. They do.
That was Tommy Schwantz. you saw the dorsal fin and thought, no, you were hanging with. Why is Pam Anderson a star? How does that work
she's
with
real
her?
Nice. Yeah.
Okay. She's my mom's nice though, but
no, but she's a good mother. But what? Her kids are my kids' age.
I don't.
And she was on Less Than Perfect a week ago, so we met up, and then she invited me to the park. It was great. She's so great.
You went up to her house.
Yeah, went down to her house.
Down to her house.
In Malibu.
Did some barbecue.
Yeah, Tommy cooked everything. He cooked hot dogs, vegetarian hot dogs, turkey dogs.
They get along okay?
Hamburgers. They get along great.
Now, do they live? He's out in Malibu.
They live close to each other. They can walk to each other's houses. It's great. They've got the best setup ever. I'm jealous.
I thought they were arguing.
My kids are like very far away from... No, they were doing great.
All right, and where are your kids?
There was Rack of Lamb.
There's
Timmy Wawa.
Timmy's got his guitar. Now, God. All right, so you won.
And Tommy just made the best food ever.
How many kids
really
do you
good.
Have?
I have three.
Three.
One of them lives out very far away out in, like, Pasadena.
Right,
the other
very
one
far away.
Pasadena.
Well, do you drive all the way out here? You do.
No, he sleeps over at the station most during the week.
It's only 22 minutes.
22 minutes.
I'll tell you how he does it, Andy. He loves his job.
And my
okay?
kids.
And his kids. All right, go ahead.
Do too, but they live in Topanga and out here. And I'm trying. I mean, maybe I should stay centrally located in Hollywood.
So Studio City.
Well, who are you living with?
Studio
now?
City is a good one. That's what I've been thinking.
Who are you living with?
What's so
now?
Funny is that where that's Adam
no,
lives?
I don't live
you
there.
You live in Studio
no, I
City?
No.
Where do you live?
But he thinks Studio City is the center where everyone should live.
No, I think Sherman Oaks is the hub of Los
Angeles. Yeah, that's where I'm thinking of living.
Smart.
Sherman Oaks. But where
Smart.
Are you living right now?
I'm in Hollywood Hills.
Like which hills? Like Beechwood Canyon up there? Do you live up near Spike Jones?
I don't know.
He lives up there. He's got a really nice house.
Here's all I know is everyone always tells me all the celebrities that live in my neighborhood, but all I see is the woman who lives across the street from me that has 23 cats in a Star Trek room in her house and sits on her porch drinking JB all day long.
Lord.
That's all I know. Everyone says, Spike Jones, it's right up the street. Yeah,
did you see Sophia Coppola's new movie?
No. Did not.
It was interesting.
Heard it was good.
It was
all right.
Fun.
So, do you have a girlfriend
depressing.
Right now, Andy?
Nope.
No, no girlfriend.
Nothing.
And where are you living?
I live right near the Beverly Center.
And you're not living
which
with
which is really actually that is more
that's
centrally
that's
located.
That's very hub-like.
But it's just too much so.
Okay.
I think I'm on the tour.
All right.
Honest
we're,
to God, the star tour. Like buses, double-decker buses stop outside my house.
We're going to
look right into my bathroom while I'm jerking off.
That's nice.
We're gonna take a break. Andy Dick's here. Andy, you going to do a song for us at
I
some point?
I hope so, if Tim gets his damn act together.
Yeah, he's there.
God, he's a moron.
It's a little...
Andy there's Dick's an old song.
Yeah.
I like
to hear a little of that
I
when
like
we come
that.
Back. All right, Andy Dick here, and we'll be right back after this. there, buddy. It's the Love Line. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Andy Dick is on our show tonight.
God bless you.
Less than perfect. Name of the show. Going to come out for its second big season on this Tuesday, 9:30.
I see that Sarah Rue is going to be here next
ABC.
Week.
Yeah.
She's really nice. You'll like her. She's sweet.
I've never met her, but I'm hoping to make her a dear, dear, dear friend after I meet her.
You will.
It's coming a little later this week. And you guys did not get switched over to the TGI Friday thing that ABC is doing.
No, they we stayed out on, of there. On Tuesday because we were doing well there. And
that's
we,
right.
We started to even do better. This summer in reruns, our ratings went up during reruns.
Well, if it ain't broke, great. Drew, don't move it.
No.
That's what I say.
Don't touch it.
All right. Let's keep powering forward. I tried to. Drew went and did the Emmy precast today. Mm-hmm. I don't know what that was on. E?
Yeah.
And I watched like 10 seconds of it on Fox at like 7:30 tonight. Like Jan Carl just sitting there and what's the whore's name from Sex and the City who's
Kim
crazy?
Cattrall.
Kim Cattrall
mm-hmm.
comes up and it's like, oh, you go, girl. There's nothing worse than like 45-year-old white women speaking in the black vernacular. You know, hey, girl, you go, girl. And Kim Cattrall is wearing, you know, basically an ascot tied around her coos, you know. It's like, whoa, you must have had to work out to fit into that. Turn around. You go, girl. You look great. Oh, thanks. Well, you really had to work out. Well, I did work out. Well, that looks great. You look great. Thank you. And then just leave. And I just thought, oh, there's just so much neuroses. Like, I switched the channel, and my wife's like, well, relax. And I was like, I'm uncomfortable.
It's hard to watch.
It's uncomfortable. Yeah, and she's like, why? They're just talking. I'm like, the neuroses, it's like bubbling. It's bubbling out of the screen. I can't. It makes me uncomfortable to watch it.
It's really weird. Yeah, when you know and see the pathology, it's hard to watch.
Yeah. All right. Thank you, Drew. Drew, who'd you talk to? Anybody?
This was less of an interview thing and more of sort of discussions and look back and a little skits.
So you can tell them to turn around and then you
like,
go,
like,
girl?
Yeah, that's right. I did.
All right.
They had an interesting little, little rolled-in piece they called Straight Eye for the Queer Guy. It was very funny.
Oh,
very funny.
A play on Queer Eye for the Straight Guy.
It's very funny. John Sally did it.
Oh, it's good people, yeah. John Sally. Must have a huge penis, too. There's a
Must.
7 foot tall man.
Must.
Andy Dick in here tonight. Andy,
speaking of,
introduce your guitar player.
Little Timmy Wawa, or Tim Walsh. He's Irish.
And Timmy is in the Bitches of the Century, yes?
Hanging by a thread.
That's right, which I'm sure is fine with him.
Where are you? Andy, where are your percussion instruments? I'm not used to seeing you without a
I know,
a
I should
fish.
Have brought my little bag of tricks. Yeah. I have these great darn things. I should have brought them.
All right.
Tim almost was almost played with Ozzy.
Really?
It was up against him and one other guy, and he was too drunk back then.
Tim was.
Ozzy. Tim was.
Yeah.
And Ozzy.
Ozzy was pretty loaded, too. But.
But if Tim was too drunk for Ozzy, I mean, what the... So he didn't make it. He didn't get it. And now he's stuck with me.
Yeah.
We go around. We're going to Kansas City this weekend.
Oh, really? But they'll love you in KC.
I hope so. I've never been there. This weekend.
I'm going Thursday.
You are? Yeah. So are we. Thursday, Friday, Saturday.
Oh, well, you guys can hook up.
So we got to hook up then.
All right.
Are you
going to
be there all weekend?
No.
All right, Drew, quiet.
Will you come to see the show? Just come see the show. You've never seen us live.
Exactly.
You always say you will.
All right, what are you going to do?
Come on, it's an early show.
Like you guys going to do a song?
Yeah.
Yeah, you want to do it now? You got
to. Yeah, we're going to do a couple. Can we do a couple? So we'll do one now, one later.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
Okay.
We'll see how this one goes.
Let's do a quick little one.
Yeah.
Or
Diddy.
Well, should we do the AIDS one since it's kind of appropriate for
the show? Yeah, AIDS seems right. Yeah.
Yeah, this is a song that is actually in a movie. It's a musical. It's a musical
about AIDS.
Well, the director character tries to turn the movie that he's directing into this musical, and then he tries to make these probing, hard-hitting songs.
Springtime.
It is exactly like that. So trying to make a serious song about AIDS, but he's quite not hitting the mark, and that's what this song is. So this isn't me writing and singing the song. This is a character in the movie that wrote the song for the actors in the movie within the movie. It's kind of layered and complicated.
But did you write this song?
But I wrote it.
Okay.
Yeah, and Tim Walsh helped me with the music. Actually, this one was written by Andrew Sherman. The music. I wrote the words with Andrew Sherman. He's one of the other bitches who's Jewish. You'd like him. You've met him.
Is this part of the song, or are we not into
no,
the song
No, let's get
yet?
Into it.
Okay, let's go.
How does it begin, let me think? Because I didn't bring my notebook either. How does it begin? Oh, yeah, right. Here we go. Ready? Listen to this. It's very pretty. You're going to like it. Sharing is good, but not when it's with needles, because then the only thing positive is your HIV test. And the doctor swears up and down that my nasty nosebleed'll heal when I give my meth use a rest. Oh, a rest. The 60s were so sweet. You'd screw everyone you'd meet. And then a monkey bit someone's butt. And by bit, I do mean effed. Oh, we're effed. AIDS, what does that spell? AIDS, AIDS, I'm so afraid. AIDS, what does that spell? AIDS, AIDS, not just for gays. Okay, hang on.
Nice. Let's see, right? Yeah, you'll like this one.
AIDS is not racist. It does not discriminate. Most people get it from having sex in the rear. And the only prevention is to stay home and masturbate and wash your hands thoroughly if you touch a queer. Oh, how queer. The 70s were so fine. The drugs flowed like wine. And then that monkey bit someone's butt. And by bit, I do mean oomphed. Oh, we're effed. Now let's see if I can remember this part. AIDS, what does that spell? AIDS, AIDS, I'm so afraid. AIDS, what does that spell? AIDS, AIDS, I can't get laid. AIDS, what does that spell? AIDS, AIDS, dirty gays on parades. AIDS, what does that spell? AIDS, AIDS, gay, 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 gay.
Wow. He's like a bi Cat Stevens. That is amazing. Tim, nice job on the guitar, too. Andy.
It's a nice one.
Hell yeah.
It's just disturbing.
You didn't write that, though, no?
No, I wrote it.
He wrote it.
I wrote it and with Andrew Sherman.
For this character.
For the movie that, yeah. And the thing. It's very complicated.
Is it going to be...
It's
going to
happen because we've got three producers that I already kind of walked away from because they somebody wanted to take that part out. I'm like, you can't. I mean...
No.
And then somebody wanted to take out the Bill Cosby scene that I don't even want to get into. It's very nasty.
In the 11 o'clock hour, can you play one of your, from the best of
let's do a real quick one later. It's like this 20-second real quick one.
But I want to hear an oldie but a goodie. I really enjoyed that, but I'm trying to think of
the one where you get so worked up you stab
Chris Kattan. Chris Kattan song.
That's
a strong one.
I feel bad for Chris Kattan.
I forgot
these days.
All right,
how's he doing?
He's dead. Death age. All right. Well, let's move forward because he life is for the living.
Yes.
Aaron?
Yeah.
You're 18?
Yes.
Your boyfriend wants a threesome?
Yeah.
And with another girl?
Uh-huh.
Okay.
You're 18, huh?
Yeah. Hmm.
And
she sounds young, huh?
Yeah. It's always a bad sign.
You sound like you're 15 or something.
No.
Maybe 11. Were you ever abused?
Huh?
Were you abused sexually?
No.
All right. You just have that little girl voice?
Does he want you to come up with the other girl?
Yeah.
Is it your friend?
Like, a lot of my friends are, bisexual and all this, and, I've talked to them about it, and they're just like, yeah, I'll do it. I'll do it, but, I don't know. A lot of my friends are, sluts, and I don't trust them.
Well, you don't want to do it, so why are you even contemplating it?
I don't know.
Because you're afraid you'll lose him.
Well, that's why we asked the questions about your having been abused.
Well, I'm afraid that, my boyfriend will like it too much, and, he'll want to do it, all the time.
All right, first of all, you're playing the role of victim awfully well, somebody who's being forced to do something she really, really doesn't want to do. You're putting in harm's way. You sound kind of terrified by the whole thing. You're afraid you're going to lose your boyfriend if you don't do it, if you do it.
I mean, like, part of me wants to do it, but, like, the other part of me is like, no, I can't do it. Like, that's gross.
No, okay. So listen to that part, yeah, would you please?
That's if you really care about this relationship. But on the other hand, we don't trust this guy.
How long you guys been together?
3 years.
3 years. Yeah. Right, that's enough. You two should break up.
Are you, yeah,
it
I
says,
agree.
It says on the screen you want to join the military.
Yeah.
Do it. G.I. Jane. Shave your head, go away, and just forget about that
guy. If you do that, you'll leave this guy behind, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah,
then do it.
You get some self-esteem and some discipline. That's
a great, and you'll
like
get some nice abs.
What branch do you want to join?
Marines.
Marines.
Do it.
Why Marines?
I don't know. In high school, I was in an ROTC program.
Get on your knees, scumbag!
All right. Well, join those Marines and go away and dump this guy. I don't trust him.
It's done.
All right. Andy Dick is handed... awkwardly handed Drew the test that he could have handed him 30 seconds from now when we went to break, but that wouldn't be Andy Dick, would it?
Sorry.
All right. We're going to hear another song from Andy.
It's a quick one.
Well, now, we'll hear it. I think we'll hear it in the 11 o'clock hour. Although, you got a quick 20-second one?
It's a quick one.
All right, give me a real quick one, and then we'll hear a...
fast. Yeah, the quick version.
Oldie but goodie.
A real fast version. Okay. This is pretty. I gotta bleep myself out. Could you put your clothes back on, please? This is gonna be harder for you than me. But I have something to tell you, Beth. You're a yum yum, it smells like death. And it's getting very old trying to hold my breath while I'm between your thighs, tears in my eyes. I just heard you queef, give me relief from your unshaven nasty bush. Why can't you douche? And I don't know if it's curable or not, but you definitely have crotch rot. And I don't mean to sound blunt, but your ass smells better than your... something
C-word,
that rhymes with blunt.
Yeah.
Let's end there. See, it's quick.
That's solid.
We drop
you like that one, right?
That's a good one. That's nice. All right. Andy Dick. Andy, my nephew's fifth birthday is coming up. I'm going to put you on the spot. I'm going to put you on. But if they're out in Topanga,
we'll
I'm just
play,
saying,
we'll
if Timmy can bring
anything.
The guitar.
We'll play
they're
bar
very progressive. My
turning
sister's
five?
Very progressive.
Turning five.
Turning five.
Okay, yeah.
But the, nice. My perfect. Sister's very progressive. Again, I don't want to corny you on the air, but maybe if you just Timmy bring the guitar, you guys do a couple of numbers.
We'll
talk during the break.
Yeah.
Again, I was probably inappropriate to bring up on the air. Andy Dick, in a night, we'll take a quick break, and we'll be right back after this. Hey, everybody, it's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Andy Dick
music,
is in the... Oh, sorry, go.
My kids are always like my Zoom.
Nice.
Remember Zoom?
Yeah, great show.
I loved Zoom.
Fantastic.
Come on, Zoom.
Andy Dick in studio tonight.
Come on, give it a try. We're going to show you just why. We're going to teach you to fly high.
We're going to Zoom.
That's when I started doing drugs.
Oh, when Zoom came on?
They taught me how to fly high.
Zoom did seem like a euphemism for shooting up smack or something like that. And then, hey.
Come on, everybody. Let's Zoom.
You want to Zoom? We're going to go behind the alley. We're going to go behind the club and Zoom by the dumpster. Andy Dick is here. He is promoting Less Than Perfect, which is on Tuesday nights starting this Tuesday.
Brand new episodes this Tuesday.
9:30. How many episodes did you guys do?
22 or 24 last year.
Good pickup. Big pickup.
Uh-huh. We got picked up We got picked up before the end of the year, so that's uncommon.
Yeah.
And we got picked up for the full year this year, and we're already on episode 6, but none of them have aired yet.
Right. So you guys are shooting. Would you shoot on Fridays?
Mm-mm. Tuesdays. We shoot the day our show airs, which is weird because we can never watch it.
So what's your schedule? You do like a table read
it's
on
so light.
Wednesday
Wednesday we go in for an hour. We leave. Thursday we go in at 9. We leave by 2 or 3.
Mm-hmm.
Friday we go in at 9. We leave by 2.
And
Monday we rehearse all day from like 9 to 5. Tuesday we come in at noon and we're out of there by 10:30 at night because we shoot the show at night from 7:30 to 10:30.
Right.
And you're welcome to come and watch. I mean, not you guys, but anybody out there. They can come and just get a ticket for free and come and sit in the studio audience, and it's a live show. It's really live, you know. People are really laughing.
Do you
just like I Love Lucy.
Now, some shows you're in more than others, right? Some are a little lighter, some a little heavier.
Right.
For
that's
you.
How it is for all of us because
right.
it's an ensemble cast and everybody. That's the I'm telling you, this show, it's so nice. I like to be on a show like it was for me on News Radio where it's not my show. It's not really anybody's show. It's Sarah Ruse's show.
That's
She's
right.
the star of the show.
She's going to be in here later this week.
Right.
Yeah.
She's a sweetie, and it's her show. But it's but sometimes it's even light for her. It's Andrea Parker.
But when you see the script and you don't see too many lines for you on one given week,
I say it's a nap week for me.
That's my boy.
It's so nice.
That's what
it
I'm thinking.
Nice.
That's what I like. That's
nice.
What I'm sort of I'm hoping
because I get paid the same.
That's what I'm saying.
I know.
That is what I'm saying.
Other actors are upset and they're like, "Where's my stuff?" It's like, screw it. Let me go up and nap.
Let me tell you what your stuff is. Your stuff is work. What do you mean? Where's my work? To me, it's like you being a secretary and walking into an office going, there's nothing in my inbox. It's almost empty.
I know.
It's almost empty. And I get paid the same all week. Hey, you're not doing piecework. You're not getting paid by the syllable. If you're getting paid the same, screw it.
I
it's a nap
it.
Week.
I love it. It's really like a paid vacation. And I love everybody
That's
on
what
there.
I love.
Zachary Levi, Sherry Shepherd, my favorite. She's awesome. Will Butler, who's Eric Roberts.
Oh,
and
Eric.
It's confusing because Will Butler's played by Eric Roberts, but then there's a character, his name's Carl,
played by
Will Sasso, who joined the cast.
Oh,
Will Sasso.
Right. Fox. He was on...
We slipped something by the censors on ABC, but I don't even want to talk about it. You know what a hot Carl is?
No, I don't know.
A hot Carl?
No. Something you,
you
may
know what
have
a
done
hot Carl is?
No, we don't tell us.
What you don't
that?
Know what you guys have the number one and only sex chat talk
like a,
show on national radio.
We've talked about it.
Yeah, it's like a dirty.
Yeah,
it's
I think
like
we have talked about
it's
a
like
hot
a Manhattan
Carl.
Or whatever, a steaming. It's like
right.
it's like.
Well, what is a hot
it's
Carl?
It's like it's pooping on your chest. Is a hot
oh really?
Carl. Yeah,
nice,
it's a hot
Andy,
Carl.
Nice. Thank you, Andy.
Named after Carl who? Malden?
I don't know, but
Reiner?
Carl Malden.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Oh yeah. No, I heard he was
it. Was a hot Carl.
He was it. Yeah.
No,
Streets of San Francisco was originally about a guy who was into being defecated on.
That's nice.
Uh-huh. That's what the book was.
Either way.
Well, anyway.
We slipped something by where there was a sentence where I start with a question, like, because he said something about, I want hot sex. I want to go in there and get some hot lesbian sex. I want to witness it. And so I say, hot Carl. The only set, you know, like.
Oh, you beat him on a technicality.
Yeah. Yeah, and they didn't know. They still don't know.
I think another fart.
Oh, could you hear that?
Right, that's good.
Could you hear that through the headphones? That was Adam.
Yeah. No smell, though. No pop at all.
Really?
Nothing at all. I've had nothing lately.
Uh-huh.
It's starting to erode my confidence. I mean, it's been months now since I've had any pop at all. I'm just like some kind of noisemaker. Like, I got like a whoopee ass, but there's nothing coming out.
You might want to get that checked out.
I'm going to look into it. Jade?
Hello?
You're 16?
Yeah.
What's up?
I was wondering how long after getting an abortion you have your period.
Ooh.
I mean, how long do you bleed after you've had an abortion?
No, like, how long after how long do you start having regular periods?
Are you on the pill?
No.
Did you take a shot?
No.
What are they doing for birth control for you?
What?
Jade, let me ask a question. This is Adam. I'm not the doctor. We've got into this tonight already, that sort of young girl voice. You have the young girl voice and the young girl cadence.
Yeah.
When something happened to you? Did your dad die when you were 7?
No, sexually abused.
You get sexually abused? Something?
My neighbor, did some stuff to me.
There we go.
That's right. How old were you?
Like...
Nine.
That's about what she sounds like.
Okay. And did you ever get any therapy or help for this?
No.
How old was your neighbor?
I don't know.
Right, but was he an adult?
Yeah.
Okay. So, and this happened once or twice?
Yeah, like a couple times.
Hmm. All right, you got to get a little help for this. So I can hear it in your voice.
Yeah, it's how you make us feel. We know that happened. And also, you're not attending to yourself. You should have been talking to the doctors who did the abortion. You should be getting some birth control. You'll have your period within a month or two, for sure. Probably in a couple of weeks, actually.
Hey, Jade?
Yeah?
It'd be a good time for you to take care of yourself. You're 16. You've been abused. You're getting off to a little bit of a rocky start as a young lady. But that's all right. You can turn it around tonight, okay?
Okay.
But you can't be a victim. You can't just sort of sit around and wait for things to happen to you. You have to be a little proactive.
And be sure to get some contraceptives if you're going to be sexually active.
Yeah. That was the voice and the cadence.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Okay. Andy Dick, by the way, who was molested as well, yes?
Yes.
But not by the same neighbor?
By Dr. Drew.
Oh, I see.
No, that was much later. I told you. No.
It was supposed to be a routine checkup. Turned out to be very bad.
All right, Annie, you collect yourself. We're going to take a quick break. Line. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Andy Dick in the house, Drew. You go, girl. You go, girl.
He would be in the house.
In the house.
Dr. No wider, Drew in the hizzy.
No wider woman than Jan Carl, by the way, if anyone knows Jan Carl, who does a little I think she's on Entertainment Tonight. Used to do local news. I mean, good looking, seems affable, but no whiter woman than her. And the second whitest woman is Kim Cattrall, and you go, girl. Oh, it's such a disaster. Andy Dick, everybody.
Did you see Cynthia Nixon?
No, I didn't. Oh, yes, I think I did.
She's also from Sex and the City.
I like her a lot.
I did a movie with her called Advice from a Caterpillar, and during that time, like, I spent about a month with her. I wrote a limerick. I haven't really written a lot of limericks, but this one just came to me.
Mm-hmm.
You want to hear it?
Yeah.
About Cynthia Nixon.
Nixon.
The redhead?
The redhead from Sex and the City. It doesn't make sense, and it's not true at all, but it's just rhymed.
Okay.
So I liked it. And, you know, limericks are supposed to be nasty.
Yeah.
There once was an old actress named Nixon who was known as the Great Broadway Vixen. Because she was on Broadway like 9 times. There was at one point she had 2 Broadway shows going at the same time.
How do you do
she was
that?
In the act 1
like
of the one and act 2 of the other. She ran downtown to the next one. I swear to God. So let me start over.
Let me just say this. Yeah, when I do there once was a man from Nantucket, I don't stop and go.
Okay, yeah.
That's on the Eastern
Seaboard.
But just
so you know, you have to know about her. Listen, okay, ready? There once was an old actress named Nixon, and I love that right away because she's not really old. I really got her, you know. Right. There once was an old actress named Nixon who was known as the Great Broadway Vixen. When going for parts, she used all her smarts, which included the shoving of Dixon.
Oh.
She must have loved that. She must have loved it. She must have been truly moved.
Andy just gave us a bizarre sort of, what would you call
macabre.
It? Macabre. Deviant meets macabre. Look.
Oh, I love that.
I mean, Andy Dick, just asleep is scary enough, but when he gives you the sort of macabre, that one eyebrow, that Vincent Price look when he would turn
to the camera.
That's weird
that you
said
Vincent Price, because earlier this evening here, I felt very like Vincent Price.
Really?
I did. I didn't say anything about it. I'm not kidding.
Did you feel Vincent Price-y?
Yes.
True. Have I ever mentioned Vincent Price on the air?
No, and I've never felt like him before.
He must be here.
Right.
That's freaking weird.
Oh, come on. Okay.
He could be here with us.
All right.
And we have a song for later, though.
Okay.
Let's help some people.
Okay.
Let's help some people.
Let's do that. Blair?
Yeah, how you guys doing?
You're 20. What's up?
I'm 20. All right. Back when I was 8 years old, me and this girl, we played doctor and had, you know, little crazy fun like kids do. Mm-hmm. And I'm wondering if because of that I may have some pedophile tendencies.
Well, playing doctor is usually sort of an exposing of oneself to one another. It doesn't. It's not sexual, and it's not directed towards intercourse.
Okay, yeah, we didn't have intercourse, but we just, like, fooled around.
What does that mean?
Looked at each other's, you know, private parts and played kind of like house and stuff like that, kid.
What does that mean?
What does what mean?
What does that mean, playing house?
Oh, like, I'm the dad, she's...
Yeah, but Andy, don't, you're not making the case strong for him.
I'm the dad, she's the mom, or and? I'm the dad, and she'd come home, and I'd, like, spank her and stuff like that.
It's... Yeah, that's all right.
It's spank
her? Yeah. But listen, hold on a second. That's not why you're into young chicks.
No,
I mean,
not. Well, he's wondering if he got abused
no.
of some sort of...
Well,
arrest.
I mean, here's the thing. Eight-year-old guys... dudes, lads. No, here's the thing. Eight-year-old... are very curious, and
yeah,
they do
yeah.
that show me mine and I'll
yeah,
show you
yeah,
your
but...
stuff. And then as they go on, that guy becomes he becomes curious about 12-year-olds and then 15-year-olds yeah. and then 20-year-olds, and then when he becomes a producer in his 40s, then he goes back down to 17-year-olds again. But you should, at age 20, be interested in 20-year-olds,
yes,
if not 27-year-olds. Anything
yeah,
you can get.
I so am you... also, but like, you know, if I see... It's not so much 8-year-olds, but like, I'm not... I don't hesitate to look at, like, a 12-year-old to a 16-year-old and,
well,
like, you know.
All right, but what is that? I mean, look, you
that's different.
You don't act on it, though.
You don't
no,
do
I
anything.
I don't act on it, but sometimes, like, I'll fantasize or masturbate to it.
But sometimes there's a 15-year-old that really, she looks like she's 21.
Oh,
I mean,
yeah,
let's face it.
In California.
That's just, yeah.
Let's face it.
There's nothing wrong. Just
yeah.
don't do anything because you'll get
you were gonna,
go to jail.
You were going to say something about your history.
Well, I did all that. I played doctor. I mean, there was a girl named Kathleen when I was little, and she insisted on playing a game called the bad piano teacher.
Wow.
And she was teaching me how to play the piano, but then we'd always wind up naked.
Sure.
Well, you I know, guess that was when I was 9 or
I guess a
seven.
Bad piano teacher would work that way.
Yeah.
That's when he was 9 or
and,
7
and
or
doctor,
three.
And we played stripper.
Same woman,
and,
same girl.
And I did the same games with my guy friends. I mean, I played
game,
I played butt bongos. With,
what? Sure.
Yeah, I remember I have a vivid memory of before being in first grade, I must have been in kindergarten, of having all my friends lined up on like a picnic bench playing butt bongos on their bare asses and my mom tapping on the back window going, tick, tick, tick. No, 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 no. Like shaking her head and wagging her finger. No, 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 no. I can still see that. And I'm and me thinking, what's wrong with this? A little harmless butt bongo on my friend's asses.
And this is in South Carolina?
No, I think, no, that was in Connecticut. I've lived in like 9 different states.
Were you sexually abused?
Well, I think I, there was a whole couple years that I do not remember
yeah.
where I was sent away. I was, first of all, I was adopted. You know that.
No, I didn't know.
Oh, you were?
Yeah, I was adopted.
I didn't
How
know.
Old were you?
I didn't
know
that.
Well, right away, like.
At birth?
Yeah.
Okay.
At birth.
Have you ever gotten contact?
Yeah, I found my mom.
Wow. You found
yeah,
her?
She's in Lubbock, Texas.
Oh, boy.
I found her.
When
I
did you find her?
Maybe only about 5 or less years ago.
Did she know who you were?
No, because she didn't. I mean, she knew who I was.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
Yeah, she quickly found out. Like, she hadn't been watching. Like, I think she had seen news radio, if that's what you're talking about.
Yeah.
But
right.
she didn't know that that was me.
Right. But right. but she knew it must. I mean, it's got to be. Look, when
it was
kid,
awkward
when a kid,
for both of us.
Yeah, but when the kid is somebody who you've seen on TV, who's a personality, comes
bizarre.
Up to you, it's got to be bizarre on bizarre.
I bet this questionnaire probably has a lot to do with that kind of stuff. You know, because
right.
you know you're in the womb for 9 months and you get and there's a bond that's formed
yep.
and then you get taken away. That was shocking.
So you got to
you can
you
remember
gotta,
that.
I
that feeling.
Think I went. You know, I've done a lot of therapy.
So you remember that feeling
and
yeah.
other things, and yeah. and I've had that kind of panicky, horribly panicky, like I'm going to die kind of feeling when if somebody goes away and doesn't come back.
So hold
yeah,
on. You
really
were
bad,
adopted
really bad.
From the beginning.
Yeah.
And
but then I was sent away a couple years into it because my mom didn't she wanted somebody else to help teach me how to, you know, to be potty trained, how to like go to the
what?
Bathroom in a toilet.
What?
Yeah.
Sent you away.
So I
get,
got sent
training?
Away to like a grandparent.
Crap Academy?
That was creepy.
Oh.
Uh-oh, uh-oh. What were they like?
Well, I don't remember that part.
Uh-oh.
That's just creepy.
I know, so, okay, so.
That's creepy.
When did you find out? Oh, quiet down.
All I remember is picking eggs from the barn.
What?
Picking out eggs.
When did you find out you were adopted?
Oh, I knew my whole life.
But did you know when you were 2?
Yeah.
There
was a book laying around, a children's book called The Chosen Child. Mm-hmm. So they tried to, like, put that spin on it.
Right.
Like, you're the
special
chosen one.
Your mom didn't want you. You're so special. Your biological
mom. Yeah, they,
mama,
did. They didn't put that part in there. They put that somebody picked you out of a bunch of them. We wanted you out of all these others. But then as you grow up, you realize, yeah, what about the one that there was somebody out there who didn't want me?
Right.
Right. That's the part they leave out.
Yeah. Well, that.
And then you have to deal
with
that later.
That's all right.
It's fine. I'm looking. I'm fine.
No, you landed on your feet, buddy. That's the important part.
Not quite.
All right. So you always knew you were adopted.
Like a cat.
Now, yeah. do you.
Yes.
Do you think that's a good idea? I mean, I know it's hard to tell.
You know what's good these days, and it happens a lot, are these open adoptions where the mother is in contact. I mean, if they can handle that.
You think you would have liked that?
That would have been cool. That would have been cool because my mother, who I just met recently, might have been the one to potty train me, and that would have been cooler.
That's a fantasy, though, because the reality is she's the one that...
She gave you the boot.
Yeah, she was 17.
So when you saw your... When you went and contacted and found your biological mother, was she hard to find?
Yeah, it took me years.
And you did find her, and then she recognized you from TV. It must have been bizarre for her because she didn't know that's who you were.
Yeah, that was awkward.
What was her last name? What name?
Tomlinson.
That name?
I would have been, you know, she probably wouldn't have named me Andy, so I would have been something.
That's probably 50-50 chance.
Something Tomlinson.
And
my head writer on the Andy Dick Show is Tomlinson.
And you found her. Now, do you stay in touch with her?
Rarely. I don't know why.
Is it?
I just don't.
When you guys left, how was she doing?
Last time I talked to her?
Well, I mean, was it sort of a disappointment? Was there fantasy?
Yeah, it was like, it wasn't all, it was crap. I thought it would explain a lot. I thought it would close doors,
Come
into focus, everything would fall into place, and I have closure. All those terms, and nothing really happened.
Of course.
Nothing.
All that happened in the 30 years prior to that.
Yeah, I was raised by two other people that I consider my parents.
I've never heard of parents sending kids away. I mean,
that's not good.
In American history, there's never been a high school age non-potty trained child.
Yeah, I know.
With a normal brain.
Yeah.
And
I'll tell you, I think it did.
You can't handle potty training.
It did more damage than good.
Of course,
I think,
you've already
been
abandoned once.
Yeah, and in the end, I wet the bed till I think I stopped 2 months ago.
I was a bedwetter myself.
Till when? I mean, I really wet the bed till late.
I think
till I had my first girlfriend.
Oh no, he did it on his girlfriend, Adam.
Oh well, I'm
I
drunk.
Did too. Yeah, that being drunk doesn't count.
That's plus she had it coming. I mean, she was kind of asking for it. I mean, she was asleep, but it's the way she was asleep. I can tell. I know by person's sleeping posture when they're asking for number one and when they're asking for number two.
Hot Carl. But, yeah, I did the same thing.
All right. Well, look, Andy.
Were you abused?
No. I was neglected.
I was neglected as well.
Not abused, just neglected. Yeah. Although, I find that a form of abuse.
Oh,
it is. It is. I'm trying to stop that cycle with my kids. That's why I want to move in
closer.
That's
why one lives in Pasadena and never sees them.
Oh,
I'm trying to move in closer to Topanga.
Yeah.
Because they're still very young, and it would be nice to see them more often.
Dan?
Hi.
You're 18?
Yeah. I was wondering, I was watching news radio, and I was wondering, what was it like working with Phil Hartman?
He was great.
Yeah, because you passed away, and I just started getting into news radio, and I really liked the reruns.
Yeah, well, he was just great. He was like the best person you could ever want as your friend. To me, he was like the father that I never had. I wasn't very close to my father.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, the guy that adopted me, I respected him and looked up to him, but I didn't see him much.
What did your biological mother say about your biological father?
The one I never have met him.
I know.
I plan on meeting him. Oh, I plan on putting that on TV.
Could she tell you?
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh,
that would make good TV. She said he was an amateur boxer and a bricklayer, and claims that I'm not his.
You know,
Like that didn't happen.
You do seem a little too sharp to come from that dull of mind. But all right.
No, but maybe he's a smarty. I want to meet him. I think that'll be really interesting.
And what about back to Phil Hartman?
We could
duke
it out. So he used to take. He took me under his wing.
He did.
Yeah. He gave me advice. I would go to him for advice. He would, you know, we actually, I would go to his house for holidays. And not everybody, no one in the cast did.
How did his wife seem?
She was awesome, you know, and she was 9 years sober.
Really?
Yeah, she had solid sobriety. And, you know, back then, I was, you know, I think Phil maybe smoked a little pot, maybe, but not much. He was a clean guy.
Yeah, right.
You know, barely drank. He really liked old cars, and he liked his airplane.
Oh.
And he had toys like that.
Oh,
breaks
my heart.
I know, he was just the greatest, kindest, most generous and funny guy you could ever want to know.
Yeah, well, there's a couple of guys you miss. I mean, whenever someone dies before their time, it's a tragedy. But there's guys whose work you miss. And in comedy, there's not too many of them, really. I mean, Chris Farley, I'm sorry he's gone, but I don't miss his work. I didn't need to see Beverly Hills Ninja 3 or anything like that.
I think he was funny.
All right, he had his moments.
I thought he was funny.
The point is Phil Hartman, I miss the guy's work.
Yeah, he was
funny. The guy, you know, when he was on SNL and when he would do his voice, you know, do his voiceover stuff on The Simpsons and stuff. I mean, yeah.
he was really good.
Yeah. He was on the Pee Wee Herman show too.
Yeah, yeah.
He loved to work. He loved to work. And you know who also was like that was John Ritter, because we were on the same night, so I got to know him. He was also on News Radio. John Ritter had like a 5-arc story on News Radio where he came in as a therapist to help out in the workplace, and just kind, just like Phil, generous and kind and loving. And you know what it is? I think I really do believe this. They get to go to heaven because they're just great people. They get to go to heaven. We have to stay here, hell on earth.
Yeah, Ritter was. I did a pilot with Ritter.
Wasn't he nice?
He was a great guy, and I was just sitting around thinking, Yasser Arafat. Been in the Captain Kirk seat for like 42 years. Fidel Castro's been in office for like 45 years. John Ritter, pow, he's gone. Really? Yeah. This how it works? John Ritter's got to go. Fidel Castro and Yasser Arafat, they just keep going forever, boy.
Yeah.
They just keep going. Princess died, John Ritter, you guys are out. Mm. Arafat?
Castro,
Khomeini, you guys keep it rolling, keep the party going. Really, that's the plan.
See?
That's the plan. Idi Amin, you go in your 90s.
You go, girl.
You go, girl. I mean, you realize like John Ritter's, died. You know, Phil Hartman, I don't know what he is, late 40s, early 50s when he goes.
Yeah, around 50.
John Ritter, mid 50s when he goes. Whoever these guys going in their late 40s, early 50s. You know, Fidel Castro just getting started at 50, boy.
Oh, yeah.
He had, you know, I mean, he was just coming into his own.
Yep.
And, Yasser Arafat, these guys were just coming in, just getting their business going in their later 40s, mid 40s. And nothing ever stops them. Nothing. No valve. Nothing pops off. Nothing. They just keep going and going and going. And they don't get... They have the most dangerous job in the world. They never get assassinated. Nothing ever happens. No plane crashes. No booby traps. No bombs in suitcases. No hitmen. No poisoning. No nothing. You're living... You're Yasser Arafat. You're living in the most volatile region of the world. And you're just sitting on the throne for 40 years? Nothing? Jesus Christ.
That's not fair.
John Ritter, pow! Great. That is a great plan. But God's got a plan. Don't question. Don't question. There's a reason he's taken John, and Yasser is going to celebrate his 50th anniversary over there. There's a reason. Don't ask. There's a reason. Believe me, there's a reason.
We don't know.
Very important reason. He needed John. He doesn't need Yasser.
He
needs John.
He wants the fun one.
He wants the fun one. He doesn't need Yasser up there. Holly?
Hello?
You're 17?
Yeah.
What's up?
Sorry. The street sweeper is going right past my house right now. So I'm so sorry.
You have the street sweeper, wait, you're calling from Chicago. It blows by at like 1 in the morning?
Yeah, unfortunately.
All right.
Okay. Do you have my info in front of you? Or what?
Go ahead. Tell us about it.
My boyfriend's 21, and I'm 17, and I've been with him for about 6 months, and I trust him completely, but we just had sex, like, 4 weeks ago, maybe, and that's basically why I trust him, but I went and met his parents a couple of days ago, and he told them that I'm 19, and he's been telling all his friends that I'm, like, older age, and they don't know that I'm still in high school. and I'm really not sure whether or not I should stay with him.
How old is he? 18?
He's 21.
Oh, 21.
Maybe he's concerned about the legal issues here, Holly.
Yeah.
That somebody's going to sort of call him on it.
I'm really not sure if I should stay with him or not, because it's hard for me to decide whether or not I should stay with him, because he's not my parents, but they don't know how old he is. They just assume that he's still in high school, but he's not. He's in his second year of college.
Yeah.
At 21, he's only been in college 2 years?
Yeah.
Seems like too much college for 21 from where I'm from, Jeremy. It still sounds like high school age. Well, wait a minute. You want to break up with him because he's lying, because he's sort of trying to protect himself legally?
No, there's other things, too.
Then break up.
He's got to be a bad guy.
Look, here's the whole thing. If you're a 17-year-old chick and you're calling us and you want to know, like, if you should break up, then you should break up. Because at 17, you should be writing your first name with his last name and seeing how it would sound. Ooh, Holly Fagenbaum Roseberg. Yeah.
It's also, relationships aren't supposed to last forever at that age. And if you're not feeling right, one thing you don't know how to do is end the relationship. And if it's feeling uncomfortable or not right,
Go ahead. Andy, please stop flipping through that. Andy's looking at the book that Dr. Alter brought with the guys getting their dongs cut off, and it's a disaster. Put it this way. Every one of those pictures looks like someone just dropped an M80 in their underpants. Isn't that what it looks like?
It really does. It's very disgusting.
It really does. They're sane people, all those people. They just needed their penises cut off. All right. Andy's going to do a song for us.
Yes.
Now, I think we're going to take a break first.
Okay.
When we come back, he's going to do one I requested, I believe.
Oh, well, we have a new one that will be your new favorite.
Oh, so I will be requesting this song two years from now.
Yeah.
And then you'll be refusing to play it and play a new one?
Yes.
Okay, this is an interesting cycle.
Yes.
We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back. Everybody, Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191.
We were just talking about my book, Cracked, which I would please like people to read. And
I read it. It's a good book.
Andy put some comments on the back.
Yeah, I wrote a little comment on the back, right under Robert Downey Jr.
Right above Ben Stein.
Nickelback is going to be in here tomorrow night. Yes, Drew.
Yes, Adam. Good.
Now, my eyes deceiving me, or is that just say
Nickelback?
There's an L in there.
Oh, no, no L. You're right. This is
Nickback.
Nickback.
Yeah. A lot of typos in something.
Do you get a piece of The Man Show?
Because
you created it?
I don't know.
How's the new one with Joe Rogan?
It's a little raunchy.
How's Joe Rogan? Because Joe Rogan's very raunchy.
Yeah. He's pretty good in it.
It's funny, though, right? I haven't seen it.
Well, watch it.
Okay. He's a funny guy.
Good people. We'll hear a little something from Andy and Timmy, his lovely guitar player, Timmy.
For a song here. Let's get that in.
All right, let's hear about
what song
this.
Ryan?
I'm sure it's the one you didn't plan on playing.
I bet it's the one that we're about to play. That's what I'm saying.
But I did a request earlier, and you're ignoring that.
What's the deal, Ryan?
I heard this song. Andy did it on the Howard Stern Show probably like 5 years ago. It's called Little Brown Ring.
That was our only hit.
What about doing your only hit? Yeah.
Our only hit. And it's only considered a hit because we played it on Howard Stern. But no one ever bought it. Well, so it's not even really a technical hit.
Well, let's hear it. Can we hear it?
Little brown ring, little brown ring, thank you for your smile. Little brown ring, little brown ring, you're cramping up my style. I see you in the dark, leaving your brown skid mark. Little brown ring, little brown ring, you're quite a nasty treat. And then it goes on and on and on.
But what's the one you wanted to play?
Hold on, I got a fart. It's going to make it funny.
Ooh, ouch.
It makes it funny when he's talking about the little brown ring.
That song is about buttholes.
Oh, yeah, that's right. It's funny when I farted.
Yeah.
I know. What is this song you were going to do
I thought he was going to request the one that we just recently did on I'm With Busey. Did you? Mm-hmm. I was on I'm With Busey.
Saw it.
You did?
Yes.
Wasn't it funny?
Yeah, I love that show. And Adam De La Pena used to write on The Man Show. So Mijo, as I call him, because he's
oh,
Mexican.
the guy, yeah. Adam.
Yeah, that's Adam.
Oh, yeah.
He was my assistant.
Doesn't drive a car.
He was my assistant writer for like a couple of years on The Man Show.
Yeah, I watched a couple episodes of that show, and I thought it was just so funny.
Yeah, it's a good show. And Gary Busey, dear friend as well.
Yeah, and he's just nuts. And, you know, he plays up the nuts thing.
Yeah.
And I just,
well, he's nuts, but he plays it up, but he's nuts. Yeah.
But I didn't see the episode, but I mean, what we did, I know, was really like just out there. But it turned out really funny.
Well, let's hear it.
Oh, yeah. And then we altered the song for Gary.
Mm-hmm.
And then is this the one you wanted to play?
This is the original version, okay. Not for Gary. It's just kind of... He's a bitch, he's a bitch, he's a nasty little lying pricky bitch. That's okay, I'm a dick, I'm an angry overbearing little prick. So back that ass onto this.
Oh, boy.
It really blows, Leonard knows, so many men she had to meet without her clothes. I'd like to thank my good friend Hank for pointing out that she's a walking sperm bank. No deposit, no return. Bitch. Bitch. He's a bitch. He's a nasty little scaredy catty witch. But that's okay. You're gay. There's just one more thing I have to say. Back that ass onto this. Back, back, back. It just trails off.
We
have to work that one up.
I don't know.
Isn't that a good one?
That's solid.
Yeah, because it's more, you know, upbeat.
Yeah, no, I don't. It's like something you can sing along to.
It's about a certain somebody.
Again, my nephew. He's going to turn 5. They're up in the Topanga. Hey, We'll talk after the show.
Yeah.
Now, who's that about? Ex-girlfriend, something like that?
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah.
Something like
Andy makes you mad because Andy always has super hot-looking young girlfriends.
Yeah. And she came back into my life. I don't know if I was talking to you about that.
You're right.
Lisa, super the hot, one that I was with for 4 years.
The blonde girl. Mm-hmm.
The one that really put me through the ringer. I mean, it's my own fault. I don't want to be a victim here, but, you know, I chose to be in this relationship. I chose to take the abuse and to dish it out.
Sure.
I mean, we were very, it wasn't good, but the sex was so good. And it was, you know, I kind of capped off. Have you ever had that where you've had, in your mind, the hottest woman ever in your world?
Right.
But now it's just like, where to go?
Yeah.
Where to go? I'd have to have sex with a female alien or something.
Yeah, well, you know what you have to do is you have to get off the part where the hottest chick you have the best sex with ends up being is the criteria for your happiness.
Exactly.
Right. That's where
you're right. Yep. That's where I'm screwed.
You got to
stop
focusing on that.
So I've been altering that.
But you know,
if you do,
here's the whole thing. Here's what you can do. You can go, I nailed the hottest chick I could nail and had the best sex I could have.
Next.
For 4 years.
I'm going to check that box off.
You're right.
When I say box, I don't mean her vagina, which was always very nicely pruned. It smelled of lilacs.
Hey, how do you know?
No, I'm just saying, beautiful woman like that would have to have a very nice
No,
box.
She was so beautiful, it didn't even have to be pruned.
Didn't have to be pruned.
It was just perfect.
It just grew perfect.
She was perfect.
I know.
She was perfect.
No, okay.
But anyway, she's been coming back around. Let me just tell you, she's been coming back. She is now dating somebody else. She's dating another kind of,
celebrity.
Celebrity.
Sure.
Somebody who's very close with Madonna, actually.
Uh-oh.
So...
Mm-mm.
But she's in love with this guy.
Who is that person?
That's their private life. But she's in love with this guy, and I'm trying to be good like that too.
Sure.
So she's in love with this guy, but she's been in contact with me, calling me, and we're friends again.
Mm-hmm. That's her chaos.
Well,
that's because she's chaotic.
Yes.
Just like when you guys were together, she was calling whoever at some
point, driving me nuts.
Now you're that guy.
Oh,
you see,
that's the thing. That guy doesn't know what he's in for.
She's stirring it up.
He doesn't know what he's in for.
Right. And it's always like, Andy and I shared a lot together, and we're very close, and I count on him, and I just want to talk, but it's always something. When screwy people, chaotic people, never do anything without serious motives.
Yeah.
And if she's calling you, believe me, he's going to find out. Believe me, it's got to stir it up, because she can't go that smoothly without, if she needs chaos, she'll find chaos.
Yep.
Yeah. Or manufacture it.
But we did have feelings for each other.
Yeah. All right. Well, I'm sorry. But listen, you can't bang any aliens. You've gone as far as you can go in this department.
Now find a person.
Now you find a human being.
Yeah.
All right. There you go. Julia?
Hey.
Hey, hold on a second.
What?
Drew swapped over him because she read your book. We got to go over this person first. Melissa?
Yeah?
You're 22?
I'm 22.
You had sex with a 34-year-old?
Yeah.
What's wrong with that?
Yeah.
There's nothing wrong with that.
Nothing wrong with that.
She has questions about his vasectomy.
Ooh.
Yeah. Well, what happened was when we were having sex, it wasn't that I want him to ejaculate inside of me, but he did, like, on top of me. And then he had told me that he had a vasectomy. So I was just wondering, like, why he did it on top. Like, I mean, I thought maybe you guys like it better inside. I don't know.
Yeah, but if he were not at risk for impregnating you, why would he pull out and do that?
Right, exactly.
Some guys like doing that.
Yeah,
move.
Okay. When they have a vasectomy, where are the scars at?
Down by the testing.
I'm sorry.
It's hard to see.
Yeah, on the scrotum.
You never.
Yeah,
but
it's hard
he
to
wouldn't
see.
Be able if he was laying there. He wouldn't be able to just show me like without moving anything around.
Yeah, he might be able to show.
But
you.
Dr. Drew, isn't it more important that the guy could have a disease?
In terms of wearing the condom. I mean, that's an issue. I mean, these are adults, and you've got to be aware of that.
What do you suspect that he lied about the vasectomy?
No, I was just curious. Well, I mean, possibly. I mean...
Yeah, it's possible.
I wasn't looking to get pregnant or anything, but I mean, I just...
So you really didn't know this guy?
No, I know him. I know him very well. We kind of work together in a sense, yeah.
Oh, okay. And
does his first name begin with a D?
No.
Okay, I know a guy that has a vasectomy. A young guy. He's in his 30s.
Why did that guy get a vasectomy?
My friend got one because he has like 5 kids.
Okay, why did Melissa's friend get one?
He doesn't have any kids, but I didn't even mention that he's married too.
Oh boy.
Oh Lord.
Nice.
See, why would he get a vasectomy?
Here's the whole thing. If somebody says they have gotten a vasectomy and have no kids, it's a little bit suspicious.
Right. That's
a little bit.
I was like, okay, why would you do that? If he's a cop, too.
Now there's trouble. Now there's trouble. All right. As much as everyone hates it when I say this, cops are much closer to criminals than any other facet of society, anybody else. You know what I mean?
Sometimes.
Yeah, well, here's the thing. Other than, I was going to say publicists, but not really, because they're vermin. That's a different thing. They don't really steal. They just sort of connive and cheat. You know what I mean? They're more sort of backstabbing. It's more of a sport for them. Horrible, horrible people. But cops are really, they got a little criminal in them. They just do. That's what attracts them to it. But this, by the way, is what attracts everyone to everything.
Right.
You have to sort of walk that line.
It's a compensation for something. It's a motivational priority caused by something.
Yeah. It doesn't make them bad guys. They're on our side, and that's good. But there seems to be, and we've heard over the years, a slightly higher percentage of them that are ironically doing uncop-like behavior. Mm-hmm. Never surprises me when this goes on. Yes, Drew? Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Do you have a publicist, by the way?
Yeah, I do.
But you think she's like a vermin?
No, yeah. No, I have a publicist because...
For the show.
Yeah, well, I was sort of forced into it, but... Right.
But you don't have to pay for it?
I do now. That's why I think I'm going to get rid of him.
Yeah.
I don't
have one anymore.
Oh, good. Good.
Yeah, but ABC has one, so I just use their services for free. That's how you do it. Jen De La Rosa, she's a nice girl.
Occasionally there's a nice
shout
one.
Shout out.
Usually there's a nice one.
She's a good one.
Not often. Yeah. Not often.
Because she works for a corporation. She's not like trying to get in with one person and, you know, whore them out.
Yeah.
She just does her job and she's
They're like attorneys, but they're stupid. It's like if you took all the horrible attributes of an attorney but put into someone who wasn't smart enough to be an attorney, then you have a publicist. And that's dangerous because really the only thing you can say about attorneys is that they're sharp most of the time, and at least you'll give them that. They know how to have a good argument or debate or something. It's all the bravado and all the narcissism of an attorney minus the brains. That's what a publicist is. Julia, and all the entitlement. Julia.
Hi.
You're 19?
Yes, I am.
What's up?
You guys are so awesome. I listen to you all the time. And Andy, Dick, I'm so sad your show is off. MTV because it was.
I know.
Yeah, that was a really good show.
You know what I did with my own money? I put my favorite clips from the Andy Dick Show on my website, andydick.com. You can watch them for free. Yeah, because I didn't want it to die. It cost me over $10,000 to do that.
Oh my God, Andy, you're awesome. I did. We need to buy it. You need to make it available.
Yeah, I can't. I don't own it, which sucks. Also, yeah. I don't own it. MTV owns it. I wrote a movie for Daphne too. I'm gonna try to get them to let me do that.
Oh, everyone will go see that.
Well, you know what? You're part of a small group of people. Not everyone in the world loved that show. A lot of people. There's people who just didn't get it or like it.
Yeah,
you know that.
Well, the better.
There's haters.
The better the show is, the more those people are going to be.
They just didn't get it.
Julia,
what's your?
I read Dr. Drew's book, Crack.
You did?
I loved it.
You loved it.
It was good.
Yeah. Loved it. I am a recovering alcoholic addict. I'm 19.
Good job.
Which is cool, yeah. Dr. Drew, I love your book, and I'm going to have my dad read it because I want him to, like, understand me a little bit more. And
great. Excellent.
Yeah. I think it's just so cool because it's just everybody's story, you know?
Right.
Yeah. I don't know. And I wanted to tell you, with the character in the book, her coverage didn't pay for it, and I wanted to know what you thought we should do politically to make that like more available to everybody in America. Like,
it's unfortunate. There's nobody to advocate for addicts. It's unbelievable. That's the one thing that is constantly cut out of insurances, and then no one there is able to advocate on addicts' behalf. The one thing I think that it would allow us to regain some capacity to treat this disease that influences a third of the country, frankly, is to allow us to sue HMOs. So if you can help get legislation in place that will allow patients to sue the HMOs for their manipulation of their care, you've done a great thing.
What, you can't do that now?
You're not allowed to sue HMOs.
Oh, really? No. Oh, boy.
That doesn't seem right.
Uh-uh. I just, I was just sitting around with a whole bunch of guys today. This is sort of on the same theme. And we're all sitting over at Jimmy's house eating fried chicken his mom was making and watching.
Jimmy Kimmel?
Yes.
You guys are still good friends.
Every Sunday, all the guys meet over at Jimmy's house.
Oh,
and we watch
nice.
five football games simultaneously while somebody cooks chicken. His mom made fried chicken.
Was Sarah Silverman there?
No, she was not.
I love her.
She's good people.
She's great.
And the chicken?
Oh, great chicken. Great chicken. I ate like 7 pieces of fried chicken. And I took fried chicken home with me. But anyway, I'm not wearing the same shirt, but I realized when I was out of the house, I started smelling like, I smell like fried chicken. But we're all sitting around in Jimmy's living room, and there's a whole bunch of guys, and they're all writers and stuff from Jimmy's show and the Man Show and stuff. Everyone's from Pittsburgh and Indiana and all from out of state, Boston and stuff like that. And I brought up the fact that we were supposed to have a bullet train that was built from L.A. to Vegas for about the last 25 years.
Easily, yeah.
And everybody in the room immediately, and these are guys who have had an ass full of me by the third quarter and whatever posturing I'm doing, and like to disagree and argue with me. Everyone turned to me and said, well, that's a great idea. How come? And I said, I don't know. They've been building this train for 25 years, allegedly, except for they've never gotten started on it. And everyone said, that would be great. We could do You'd get there in an hour and a half. I'd do it in a second, you know, because the traffic gets bad. You're driving out on a Sunday. Sometimes it takes 6 hours to get back. Turbulence is horrible in the airplane. And it's like, why don't we have a bullet train, whatever? And then I started thinking about, you know, we're gonna donate, or I shouldn't say donate, but allocate, you know, like $8 billion towards Star Wars research this year for experiments that fail every time. We're going to take $80 billion. We're going to send it overseas to the Middle East and try to rebuild it. Where's our bullet train? And we could have one. We really could. I mean, the amount of money, if you think about what we're talking about sending overseas, and you think about the amount we're thinking about just sending up into the skies for tests. And now listen, I think having a strong military is a good idea, and I think research is a fine idea. But we need $85 billion. Can we take the $1 billion and get a nice bullet train going over to Vegas and back, or maybe cross-country or wherever? Does it seem a little strange that we...
What's the holdup?
That's right. We invented the train in this country for the most part. We had a rail system going before just about anyone else, and they've all had bullet trains since the 60s. Mm-hmm. Still, no bullet train in the United States.
Who has bullet trains? Asia, right? Asia has.
France has bullet trains.
Everyone has them.
Japan, Germany, all of Europe. We do not have one.
Yeah.
Really? Couldn't we? Seems like...
You'd think someone in Vegas would pay for it.
What's going on? And you know what I said? I said, you know, here's how things used to get done. One crazy billionaire, like these railroad tycoons and stuff, who makes it his mission. He always dies before it's completed, but he spends 30 years, and everyone forgets his name and no one cares anymore, but he made it his life's work, and he ends up getting it done. Let's get that Vegas bullet train done. Let's put
you could
a few
be
bucks
that crazy
that
billionaire, Adam.
I said,
it.
Jimmy, that needs to be you. You need to be the crazy, eccentric billionaire that makes this to life. And his family's destroyed, and his career falls apart, and he goes bankrupt, but he gets the bullet train done. And then, of course, I said, dies right before the maiden run. Okay. How often would you
it's
be
nice
on
to
that?
Wish that on your friends.
True, you'd be on that bullet. Soon as you cross the border, they would have an electronic module hooked up to the train that the second
casinos
at 170 miles an hour, soon as you crossed into Nevada, pow, the place lit up like the 4th of July. All the slot machines that kicked on, whores would start falling out of the ceiling. Whores would fall out like the oxygen mask would fall out when a plane did. Pow! Whore falls in your lap with a cocktail in her hand. She's got a $20 chips in her bosom. You'd be on
you're
that
totally,
train. You'd be
totally
gambling.
Totally.
Okay. All right. All right. Nah, but can't right. have it. Can't have it. Can't have it. Not going to have it. All right. We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back. Hello. Hey, everybody. It's Love. Drew, would you shut up? I know how fast a bullet train goes. Just got to yell on the air. Hey, it's Loveline. Hey, Anderson.
Are we on the air?
Yeah.
Did you just, seemed like you just dropped out the music bumper.
Yeah, because I just threw away the whole opening.
Okay, screw that.
Right.
Phone number, 1-800-LOVE-191. There's Andy Dick. Come on in, Andy.
I'm here.
That's right. Show us. Drew, want to know how fast the bullet train goes? 175 miles an hour in Japan. And that's
nice.
that's like 400 for those people. They're that small. Drew, that's not racist, but you know what I'm saying. That's a compliment.
The distances are shorter there.
Yeah, I'm saying if there's like a, you know, black NFL lineman, that would be crawling to him. You see what I'm saying?
It's a size issue, yeah.
Yeah. Here's the thing I didn't know about. I don't know why I'm on this bullet train jag, but, you know, we had trains out here in the 30s that would routinely go over 100 miles an hour, like 120 miles an hour. I had no idea. Steam trains would go over 100 or
really?
Could do it.
Wow.
Yes. I know it sounds incredible. Yeah. And then in the whole thing about, you know, France is bizarre, by the way. I cannot figure the French out in the sense that, like, on one hand, they can't make a car.
Right.
They make the world's crappiest car. And usually the car is sort of the yardstick that you use to measure. That comes like Germany. They make a good car. They make a good airplane. They make a good bomber. They make, you know, they're the first to introduce the jet airplane. It all makes sense that they make a good car, the Germans. The French make a horrible car, but yet they've mastered the bullet train. Everyone loves their bullet train. They export their bullet train. They were pioneers in the bullet train. You know what I mean? It seems like if you could do a decent bullet train, you'd do a decent car. You know what I'm saying?
Why, yeah. Yeah,
it doesn't
why do you think that is, Tim?
And they've invented a lot of
Tim
things.
Tim has thoughts
French.
On this, I think.
You have any thoughts on this?
Well, maybe they imported the bullet train from Japan. Maybe they bought it from them.
No, They're world leaders in bullet train technology. The French, yes,
because they couldn't make a good car, but they wanted to get around.
And pioneered many mechanical things and stuff too, which you don't think of them. You think of them sort of lying around, you know, drinking wine and thinking of lyrics to songs and poetry and stuff. But they have done some pretty substantial mechanical things.
Laughing at Jerry Lewis.
Yeah. Yeah, and then there's that. Anyway. All right, and then Japan, they got okay. That makes sense with the bullet train. But Germany makes everyone's got a bullet train, but us. No, not us. We got the monorail over at Disneyland. That's it. That's us. All right, fantastic.
Fantastic.
And he wants to play another song.
We do?
No, he doesn't. No, Caitlin?
No.
Yeah.
You're 18?
Yes, I am.
What's up?
I have actually a question about the morning after pill. My friend told me that I could take 5 birth control pills and 12 hours later take 5 more, and it did, like, the same thing.
Depends which pill you're talking about.
Just orthotricycline.
I don't think it's 5 for the orthotricycline. Orthotricycline, I've heard it being recommended for morning after pill, but I think it's 2 or 3.
Okay.
But you were already on the orthotricycline, right?
No, I wasn't taking it, actually.
Why weren't you taking it?
Well, I actually got it from Planned Parenthood when I took my sister to get an abortion. So, yeah.
That's an interesting and convoluted story. But
that's nice.
Yeah, if you go ahead and get on some contraception, it's usually recommended that you use Overal or low Overal or less if you're going to use one of the ones that is a little more specific for the morning after contraception.
Okay.
But I'm glad you did something anyway. That's good.
Let me tell you what the problem is, why we don't get this bullet train. I'm now obsessed with it.
How come we don't have the morning after pill for everyone?
I'll get to that in a minute. Here's how they used to do it. Some super rich guy would go, look, I'm going to get a whole bunch of Chinese together. I'm get a whole bunch of disenfranchised people together. I give you $1 a day, no health insurance. Get busy. Get busy. Hey, you spotted owls? We're going right over you. Any endangered species, any flora and fauna in the neighborhood? Pow! We're just cutting a swath right through you. We're building, baby. We don't care about OSHA or the EEOC, nothing. We don't worry about nothing but how much track we can lay each day, and they would do it. Now, you know why we can't go to Vegas on the bullet train? Because there's some field mouse or something whose habitat this would screw up, and environmental impact studies and years and years and years of red tape. No, it can't be done. Nothing can be done anymore. It's all too much, too many lawyers, too many fags. That's what it is. Fags and lawyers. Gone. Can't make a move. Can't do anything.
And
nothing going to get bailed.
Going to go break.
Everyone walk to Vegas. Okay. Have fun. Thanks, fags and lawyers. That's it. Just a bunch of environmental homos and a bunch of attorneys, and that's it. Nothing's going to move.
The bullet train would be good for the environment.
That's right. Yeah, wouldn't have all those cars going there.
Says Andy Dick.
All right, we'll take ourselves a quick break. We'll be right back. Buddy, Loveline, out of time. I'm talking to a young Tanner here.
No, you can't. You're disconnected.
No. All right, well then, screw it. Andy Dick, everybody.
Good night, people.
Tuesday nights at 9:30, ABC, Less Than Perfect. Check him out on that. Look for his new CD out whenever it's going to come out.
It will come out,
and
whether you like it or not.
If you're in the Kansas City area, enjoy the song stylings of Andy Dick and company this weekend. Tim, thanks a lot, buddy.
Thanks, you guys.
Always great on the guitar. And we'll until next time, this is Adam Kroll for Dr. Drew saying mahalo. Andy Dick, by the way, who was molested as well, yes?
Yes.
But not by the same neighbor?
By Dr. Drew.
This has been Loveline. The opinions expressed on this show are not necessarily those of the staff, management, sponsors, or this station. The producer for Loveline is Ann Ingold. Loveline is a presentation of Westwood One Entertainment.